All right, so I will call this meeting of the IWMA to order. If we could have roll call, please.
Director Bobo?
Here.
Director Edwards?
Here.
Director Fardanish?
Here.
Director Hammond is not present. Director Moreno is not present. Director Newton?
Here.
Director Robert?
Here.
Alternate Director Shoresman?
Here.
And President Guthrie?
Also here.
Thank you.
And with that, will you feel rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? And we will begin then the meeting with the general public comment period. So anyone has items that are not on the agenda today who would like to speak? No takers? Okay, with that, I'll close public comment and we'll move on to staff reports and executive director's report.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, board members. It's my pleasure to present to you at my first board meeting as your executive director and provide you with updates. There are four key topics that I wanted to cover today. The first is a staffing update. I also will talk briefly about our HHW program and share some updates related to Cal Recycle's enforcement review process and conclude with our video outreach campaign. Regarding our open positions, there are 25 candidates to date that have applied for the deputy director position. I'll be conducting interviews for that position later this month. I'm very pleased to report we had nearly 30 candidates for our clerk of the board position, and I'm thrilled to have Janet Wilden with us as our new clerk of the board starting just Monday of this week. She's doing an outstanding job. And to balance our workload, we also brought Andrea Viniskiewicz back to support and train our clerk of the board and help Janet do an outstanding job and learn her responsibilities. This is on a temporary part-time basis, so we really appreciate Andrea's help. We also recently identified a bright Cal Poly student that is open to serving as our intern, so that'll be item 9 on today's agenda to support the establishment of a intern position. And I'll talk more about that later in the agenda. So I've made it a top priority to hire and retain excellent employees that are that have skills and abilities aligned with the mission of our agency and the roles that they hold. And I'm really excited to be making great progress on that. I also wanted to highlight a few of the issues that we're seeing related to our household hazardous waste program. The first is related to batteries and the improper disposal of batteries. As a meeting with stakeholders and visiting facilities throughout the county, that's one of the top issues that I'm hearing from all of them, that improper disposal of batteries is creating an issue. As we see the Gifford fire, even as we speak, being battled by our brave firefighters, it's a really important reminder that batteries should never be disposed in any of our curbside containers. There is a potential, especially in the recycling bins, but in any of the bins that could cause a vehicle fire, it could cause a fire at the facility. We certainly don't want them buried in our landfills. The proper way to dispose of batteries is through our retail take back program. It's a fantastic, convenient way for residents to bring back their batteries and get them recycled, or bring them to any of our HHW collection centers. And we're going to make a concerted effort to really promote that to our public to make sure that we reduce the incidence of batteries being improperly disposed and causing issues. We also have two laws that were passed in 2022 that should bolster our battery collection efforts. SB 1215 added rechargeable batteries and battery embedded products to the existing electronics recycling law. So that'll make it easier. There will now be a fee associated with those batteries and it'll be easier to get them recovered and taken back. And then Assembly Bill 2440 will create a manufacturer take-back program. Those regulations are ongoing, so we're going to be tracking that because that will further support our existing retail take-back program. Another issue that's very troubling is an increase in the disposal of nitrous oxide canisters. You're seeing on the screen one of many articles that have been written about the increase in the abuse of nitrous oxide, essentially using it as a recreational drug illegally. And this is leading, so the issue for our program is that it only costs a few dollars to purchase these canisters. It costs us as much as $65 per canister to properly recycle them, because it can be a risk to safety if improperly managed. But more concerning is that when these items are improperly used, they can lead to brain damage or even death. And so I'm going to have conversations with our law enforcement and public health officials to develop a regional recommendation for our public officials to address them. More and more jurisdictions are banning the sale of these canisters because of the public health issue. The recycling and environmental issue to me is secondary. I'll continue to keep you updated on that. On a positive note, we're working with Paso Robles to expand acceptance of our solar panels at our HSW program. So that will be a location where we'll offer a discounted collection and recycling of solar panels to commercial entities. The contractors right now have limited options for where they can take those. And so that'll be a great partnership and keep those items out of our landfills or otherwise being improperly disposed. And lastly, on our HSW program, we're working on several changes that'll affect our collection centers before the end of this year. The first is relocating the Heritage Ranch Community Service District Collection Center. It'll be at a site at that same location, but slightly different spot. We also need to find a replacement location before the end of this year for the Morro Bay Collection Center. And that facility is one of our busiest, so it's really important to find a location as soon as possible so we can make plans to relocate it. I welcome support from any of you and your jurisdictions to find a suitable alternative site for that. So far, we've been unable to find one that meets all of the criteria. And lastly, we're opening a new location in concert with the San Miguel Community Services District. The site plans are still being developed, so we don't have a firm opening date for that location, but we'll be excited to further expand our collection center network and provide even better services to all of our residents. On CalRecycle's enforcement review process, I think most of you are aware that SB 1383, the most significant of the regulations that our agency is charged with supporting, that verification process is led by the Jurisdiction and Agency Compliance Enforcement Branch from CalRecycle, and that's the group that is going to conduct site visits, essentially to spot check that the data and information that we're providing is consistent with what they're seeing on the ground. The first site visits that have been scheduled are Atascadero and Paso Robles the last week in August, and then the city of San Luis Obispo and Morro Bay will be visited in mid-September. My team will be supporting and actually joining those site visits to make sure that CalRecycle staff have all of their questions answered, they have all the information that they need. I don't foresee any concerns in terms of enforcement actions being taken. We should be able to answer any questions that they have and make sure that we continue to be fully compliant with SB 1383 for all of our member jurisdictions. And then lastly, we wanted to highlight the video outreach campaign, which has been a great success already. So we had a fantastic partnership with a lot of our partners to develop four different 90-second videos. They've already been airing on KSBY, so hopefully you've been seeing them broadcast. And we've also created shorter versions between 15 seconds and 45 seconds that can be used on a lot of our social media platforms. In the first 25 days, we had over 700 total conversions. That means documented cases where someone watched this video and took some action, visiting our website, searching for certain key terms. So that's fantastic to see that result so quickly. Links to all of these videos are available on our website as well as on our YouTube page. We also have higher quality versions of the source videos as well as B-roll. So any agencies, and we've already been contacted by some of our partners, that want to make use of those videos to create customized content and further promote the message. And we're happy to work with any of you that want to do that as well. So definitely encourage you to share that widely, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Yeah, two questions. One, in the first part of this, you mentioned regarding the batteries, you mentioned a fee. And when is that a fee that we pay, that we collect? Who pays that fee, and to whom do they pay it, and how much is it?
So this is part of the Electronics Recycling Act. Now that batteries will be subject to that provision of code, there'll be a fee collected by CalRecycle, and it'll be used to fund further collection efforts of batteries. So the fee won't be coming directly to local governments or to the IWMA, but we would benefit by having additional funding to support battery collection.
And on the inhalants, the little canisters of inhalants, which if they're described as inhalants, I assume you're supposed to breathe them in. So I'm not sure, you know, how they're abused except in excessive quantities. But you say that could cost $65 a container to properly dispose of, and that would be a charge to us when they're turned into our HHW sites. Is that correct?
That's correct. And they're actually marketed as a food supplement. So they're used to create foam. They're not really supposed to be an inhalant except by professionals. So you might see nitrous oxide used in a dental office, but they don't really use it very much because of the concerns about the potential for misuse. And so now they're being marketed to the general public as a food additive, not as an inhalant, but inhaling them can have really dire consequences. So we're trying to get the word out about that.
So I assume most of them know people are just throwing in the trash, but if they think about it and they bring it to an HHW, that's when we would incur that cost, right?
Correct.
Okay. That'd be something I'd like for you to keep an eye on and let us know if that's starting to cost us a lot of money, because that would inform whether our jurisdictions want to consider banning them or not. It might add to the reasoning for doing so.
Absolutely.
Next question was on the inspections starting in Paso Robles and Atascadero. What do those inspections actually consist of? And you mentioned following, you know, around the CalRecycle inspectors. What does it actually consist of?
So essentially, they're making sure that the service is provided, particularly, you know, most of the communities are offering three bins, the ones that are subject to 1383, because we have a number of areas that are exempt primarily for the rural parts of San Luis Obispo County. And so for those areas where there is a 1383 service, they're essentially seeing that the three carts are out there, they have the correct colors. So, you know, the 1383 regulations are very specific about, you know, blue for the recycling, gray for trash, and green for organic waste, and just ensuring that they're collected separately and the services are being provided correctly.
So are they going to drive around two businesses and look, oh, yes, they have three cans and are the right colors, or are they going to follow garbage trucks?
They'll follow garbage trucks.
They will? So, okay.
Yeah, and so our staff has provided the CalRecycle staff information about the different routes, when different areas are being collected, so that they can make arrangements just on a spot basis to see what different communities are actually getting in terms of the service. But I don't anticipate that CalRecycle would be like looking at inside any of the containers mm-hmm. as part of these visits. They're relying essentially on the local jurisdictions, and that'll be our agency to do what are called flipping audits to actually see what the contamination okay. rates are.
But the inspection itself won't involve our city staffs.
That's correct.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Any other?
Yeah, thank you. Just a follow-up question on the battery recycling. Again, with the fee, is the fee charged to the person, the person who turns in the batteries?
It'll be at the time of purchase of new batteries, there'll be assessed a fee. So you've probably seen a similar fee when you bought a new television or monitor. It's that same sort of fee, but the structure will be different because batteries are much smaller.
Okay, got it. I was thinking it would be deterrent to people turning them in if the fee was charged when you recycled them, and I wanted to make sure that wasn't what was happening.
Yeah, definitely no fee at the time of turning in for recycling, and that's the intent, is to essentially prepay the disposal costs.
Right, okay, that makes sense. And I just want to compliment you all on the videos. I went to the website and looked at all of them, and I think we could use those all over the place. And I've long followed the Instagram feed of the IWMA for the great recycling tips and advice. So thank you for those.
I wish I could take more credit. Most of the work was done by my team before I joined, so, but particularly Ashley, who is the lead on our outreach and has done a fantastic job with those. Thank you.
All right, and with that, I'll actually just add a little personal comment on the battery, and that has to do with lithium batteries that are damaged that I had to deal with. And as I was informed by staff, Home Depot will take those. If you have a damaged lithium battery, shouldn't go in with the regular batteries, as the store let me know.
Yes.
So with that, we'll move on to the consent agenda, and I'll start with anyone who has any questions or special issues with the consent agenda. And then, okay, then I'll move on to any, oh, sorry.
Okay, are we looking at all of them or just?
I was gonna do all three of them here at once.
I had just a question on the monthly financial report.
Absolutely, go ahead.
Thank you. I noticed, I guess it's on page 17, there were credit card fees for QuickBooks payment. I know they're small, but I just was wondering what those are for.
Thank you. So I actually just got clarification from staff on that, because there are several different fees that we have, but this one is particularly because we use QuickBooks to process any credit card payments that we receive. So this is, you know, the surcharge that they charge us for processing our credit cards. So that's, we don't typically accept too many credit card payments, but that usually in previous reports was just a lump sum amount for all of those similar charges, and that's why it looks different on this particular report.
Okay, all right, so normally it's a lump sum. Okay, all right. And then the second one is the Waste Management Corporate Service Incorporation, I guess, is a three-yard dumpster. It's on page 14, 4058. What is that for?
So I'll
three-yard
need to
dumpster verify. Templeton.
It's, yeah, the very last item on the financials.
Let's see that. So let me verify what that amount was for. I believe that was for an event where we had a dumpster service, but I'll verify and I'll get back to you and send you an email with details on that.
Okay, and then from last meeting that we had, there was a charge for a credit card. We were not sure what that charge was for. It was about $50. And obviously you weren't here, but I didn't know if the staff had an opportunity to look into it. They were gonna report back to us on that.
If that hasn't already been done, I'll make sure that we get you a response on that with details by next week at the latest.
Okay, thank you. That's it, appreciate it.
I am noticing, Kobe, that it looks like maybe your staff might be able to answer them right here.
Yeah.
So the
do you want to come to mic?
Can you hear me? Perfect. Okay, so the first question was WM Corporate Services. That's Waste Management, and it's our dumpster fee that we have at our Chicago Grade landfill. This is actually trash services, and it's accumulation of a few landfills. So that is correct. And as far as the credit card fee from last month, it's late fees for credit card balances.
Okay, have we taken steps to make sure that we don't have late fees anymore?
I'll answer that one, yes.
Great, thank you.
That I'll ask, is there any other questions on items on the consent agenda? And then I'll just ask consensus on going forward. Do you want me to take them each separately? I've just always done the whole consent agenda together. We're good with the doing them, the consent agenda, okay. So with that, I'll open it to public comment on any items on the consent agenda. And seeing no one, I'll bring that back to the board for a motion and vote.
I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the consent agenda items 5, 6, and 7.
I'll second it.
And with that, if we can have roll call, please.
Director Borbo?
Yes.
Director Edwards?
Yes.
Director Fardanesh?
Aye.
Director Hammond? I'm sorry. Director Newton?
Yes.
Director Robert?
Yes.
Alternate Director Shoresman?
Yes.
And President Guthrie?
Yes.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll move on to the regular agenda and start here with item 8 and for the staff presentation.
So I'll just briefly mention that my predecessor had brought on YPP. They're an HR company that provides support for payroll, benefits, workers' compensation, employee relations, training, and other vital HR services on a trial basis. And during their first 30 days of working with us, have been very helpful in reducing internal staff time for those functions. What I would say is essentially I'm getting a full team of HR professionals and experts that are making sure that we're compliant with all of the California labor codes, have clear processes for all of our HR functions, reduce our internal processes for payroll and other functions that take myself and my executive staff away from other important functions, and for a fraction of the cost of essentially one full-time equivalent. So I strongly encourage the board's approval to continue with an ongoing contract with YPP. So that is the recommendation before you. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Dad, any questions for staff on?
Yeah, Michelle. Okay. Question, you know, in the packet, the contract is signed by Peter Cron on June 26th, and you'd indicated to me, as well as Peter did, that you know, this was temporary, and you're asking us to basically make this a permanent arrangement. But I assume that the contract is exactly identical to the one signed here by Peter?
That's correct.
Okay, got it. Thanks. And I'm sorry, it lists, you know, on page 44, it lists 8 particular services, compensation service, workers' comp services, and then benefits services that it looks like we're selecting. And those, so those are the only services they will provide at this time, because the contract shows they can do a whole bunch more. And you may, I don't know if your intent is to give consideration to doing additional things down the road or having them do additional things down the road, or is this it?
Right now, it's those services, but we do have the flexibility. So if there's a need for them to support us with some of the other capabilities they have, we would do that on a as-needed basis.
Got it. Okay. All right. I think it's great that, you know, we did it on a temporary basis. You know, so you're satisfied, and then you can, you know, rather than just sign up permanently and then 2 months later regret it. So, yes. All right. Thank you.
And it's an ongoing month-to-month contract. So at any point in time, we can change direction if we need to.
Yeah, I think that's important to note, is it's terminable on 30 days notice, but it is an ongoing contract of $5,000 a month, so it does need board approval unless you want to automatically renew it every month. So.
And to my right?
Yes, thank you. She might have just answered my question, but I didn't see, I saw the line item list of what each of the services are and how much they cost, but I didn't see anywhere, unless I just missed it, an estimate of what we're thinking the annual or the monthly cost is. You just said $5,000. I don't know if that's
yes.
That times 12 is what you estimate the total cost to be for the year.
That's correct. Yeah, so 60,000. There might be some additional cost for those as-needed services, as Board Member Bordeaux was mentioning, but that would be the extent of it.
Okay. Well, that certainly seems like less than a full-time person internally to do this. So, thank you.
Okay. And any other questions? All right. I'll open up for public comment on this item. Seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the board for a motion. I'll move approval of item 8, a contract for outsourcing human resources.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. If we could have roll call, please.
Director Bobo?
Yes.
Director Edwards?
Yes.
Director Fardanish?
Aye.
Director Newton?
Yes.
Director Robert?
Yes.
Alternate Director Shoresman?
Yes.
And President Guthrie?
Yes.
Thank you.
With that, we'll move on to item 9, IWNA intern position.
Thank you. This is a recommendation to establish an intern position that would be an opportunity for the IWNA to bring on typically college students. Right now, we have a fantastic candidate from Cal Poly that would help us specifically on our social media program, but this would be propose that it would be a position where we bring on a different student that would focus on different topics, whatever the particular need would be at that time. And it's a great mutual benefit for both the student and for our agency. And so recommending your support for establishing this position.
Actually do have one. What is the term here, and it might have been in the staff report, but I missed it. What is it, a 3 month, a year? Is it?
It would be a 1 year term, and then we can certainly continue that if there's one particular student that wanted to continue on beyond that first term, but it would be a permanent intern position that we would fill on a yearly basis, if that makes sense.
All right.
In that sense, though, why does it indicate through March 31st? I mean, that's not the end of the fiscal year. That's not the end of the school year. Why that date? Why is that date mentioned?
I think that was for this particular candidate.
Got it. Thank you.
And with that, I'll open this up to a public comment on this item. Seeing no one, I will bring it back to the board for a motion.
I'll move approval of staff's recommendation for this item.
I'll second it.
And if with that, if we could have roll call, please.
On motion of Director Robert, seconded by Director Barbeau.
Other way around, but.
I'm sorry. And the following roll call, please. Director Barbeau?
Yes.
Director Edwards?
Yes.
Vice President Fardanish?
Aye.
Director Newton?
Yes.
Director Robert?
Yes.
Alternate Director Shoresman?
Yes.
And President Guthrie?
Also yes.
Thank you. Motion passes.
All right. With that, we'll move on to item 10, IWA temporary administrative position. And go to Kobe for the staff report.
Thank you. Looking at the workload and particularly some of the specific programs that will be coming, we anticipate with throughout the rest of this year, at a minimum, we'll have ongoing site visits and enforcement reviews by CalRecycle and additional work related to SB 1383 reporting and documentation. We felt it would be beneficial to have a temporary position that IWMA can bring on just to meet those fluctuating needs. This would be targeting approximately 20 hours per week on a temporary basis. It would be for 3 month terms. The executive director would need to approve extensions beyond 3 months. And the rate, I know that wasn't mentioned, but it would be at $60 per hour, which would be equivalent to about $35 per hour for a full-time employee that would get all of the benefits for retirement and healthcare, et cetera, through our agency.
So I'll start on my left. Any questions on my left? Questions on my right? I'll open it up for public comment. Seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the board for a motion.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
What's your motion?
Oh, sorry. I make the motion to the temporary administration position.
Still second it.
And with that, if we could have roll call, please.
On motion of Director Robert, seconded by Alternate Director Shoresman, and the following roll call, Director Barbeau.
Yes.
Director Edwards.
Yes.
Vice President Fardanish.
Aye.
Director Newton?
Yes.
Director Robert?
Yes.
Alternate Director Shoresman?
Yes.
And President Guthrie?
Also yes.
Thank you. Motion passes.
That will move on to item 11, receive the resignation of Peter Cron, and go to staff for a report.
I will just want to say it's a relatively straightforward item. We received Peter's resignation. I just wanted to take an opportunity. I know this board recognized Peter back in June, but I really wanted to express my strong appreciation for all the work that Peter has done to bring the agency to where it is today, and also to support me in my transition to being an effective executive director. Peter's relationships and expertise have been invaluable. And I wanted to particularly note the item asks for consideration of transitioning to an ongoing hourly agreement with Peter so that on an as-needed basis, we can continue to tap into that expertise. In particular, the HHW projects that I mentioned earlier would very much benefit from Peter's knowledge and expertise in shepherding those projects to completion before the end of this year. So if the board is supportive, I would ask for your support to work with council to negotiate that agreement.
So with that, I'll ask for questions on my right. Questions?
Yeah, so obviously there's no agreement attached, and you just mentioned you would work with council to develop an agreement. And does Mr. Cron have the permission of his spouse to continue working?
Yes.
That's important to get that on the record.
Because I assume there would be a limit to the number of hours that, and you would call him on an as-needed basis, or there'd be specific projects, like you said.
That's correct. And it'll come back to this board for approval.
Got it. So I guess he won't be working in the next month then?
Correct.
Okay. Take some time off, Peter. Very good. All right. Thank you.
All right. With that, I will move on to public comment on this item. You sure you don't want to comment, Peter? One last chance? Okay.
Can I ask, is it needed for the board to give direction for me to negotiate that agreement, or is that understood, Linda?
You don't need to vote on it.
Okay. Thank you.
So just as long as there's consensus,
we're not taking any action. We'll come back to you with the recommendation.
Bring back an hourly agreement.
Quick question. Okay. Quick question. Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
So sorry for belaboring this, but just curious. So once they negotiate, does the final agreement come back to the board here? Is that what comes back to the board? I'm confused about what comes back.
Yeah, it would come back.
Okay.
It would be more in the form of a independent contractor agreement. I mean, he had an agreement in place. He resigned from that agreement, and that had a much more comprehensive role.
Why he resigned from that position. So this will be a straight independent contractor agreement. It'll probably be pretty simple. It might even be a letter agreement, and then it'll just be an hourly rate, and we would ask for approval.
And some sort of maximum number of hours or maximum pay or something like that.
Yeah, we'll work through those, and staff will give a recommendation.
Great. Okay, thank you. Thanks for that clarification.
And with that, we've concluded our regular agenda, and we'll move on to our closed session. If I could have our attorney read out the closed session.
So we are in closed session?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, the closed session is conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. We're not going to discuss it. I'm just reading out what the content is. And then we'll have a conference regarding real property negotiations under 54956.8 and conference with legal counsel pursuant to 54956.9 regarding anticipated litigation.
Okay.
Session item.
I'm just leaving.
But left.
And left.
Okay, with that, I'll bring us back into session from our closed session and ask the, our attorney to report out.
Okay, so there's no reportable action on item 12 from closed session. On item 13, reportable action was that the board authorized the executive director to obtain an appraisal on the...
Okay, mic, please.
Sorry. The board authorized the executive director to obtain an appraisal on 870 Osos and to use that appraisal as a basis of accepting an offer on the property from a third party based on the offered amount or the higher of the appraised value. And there is no reportable action out on 14. It was just briefing of the board.
And with that, we'll move on to board member communications. Anybody have any items they want to communicate at this point? I see one.
Yes. Thank you. I just want to, this is a little bit unrelated to IWMA, but I just want to take this opportunity right now and talk about the fire that we had in Templeton. As all of you know, there was a huge structure, Templeton Feed and Grain, that caught on fire on 4th of July. And it was a massive fire. And Templeton District, the fire department, definitely started approaching the fire and worked immediately to put the fire out, but it was the help of all the other jurisdictions that they came to our help, and it was very important. I want to thank, on behalf of Templeton, director and residents, I want to thank City of Paso Robles. He's not here, but the City of Atascadero, they let us use their fire truck with ladder. City of San Luis Obispo, again, they came all the way up with their ladder truck. San Miguel was involved. Cal Fire, obviously, was involved. Pismo Beach was involved through Cal Fire, AG, and Grover Beach through five cities that were all involved. So I was there, I got there at midnight, and I was there for a couple of hours, and it was just an amazing, incredible sight to see all these fire departments attacking this fire. It was estimated that, it's estimated that they were putting about 7,000 gallons per minute of water on that fire, and altogether, and they still had a hard time, putting it out. It was a miracle, and it was incredible that there was no injuries, and there was no other buildings that caught on fire. There were some buildings across the street that were starting to smoke, but because of help of all these jurisdictions, all you guys, that didn't happen. So, just want to thank you, your fire department for helping us out, and it was, again, incredible sight to see how everyone just came together. So thank you, you guys.
Thank you for that. That is quite a compliment to the whole county response to many of these types of fires. Yeah. Any other communications from the board? All right, with that, we'll adjourn the meeting.